Okay.
All right. Here we go. First show of the first weekend of Pride Month here as we celebrate on the award-winning For the People every year. And we like to bring in new and very unique special friends to talk about things that are going on with them in their world of LGBTQ plus community members, friends. And in the case of our first guest this weekend, it's their LGBTQ plus constituents and all the rest in the jurisdiction of the 143rd Connecticut Assembly District, which is cared for in the State House by my guest, Representative Dominique Johnson. She serves Norwalk and Westport, home to a couple of our radio stations here on the award-winning For the People Syndicate. Dominique is a member of the Education, Higher Education, and Employment Advancement, as well as Judiciary Committee. She just wrapped up a marathon short session, and here we are to talk about things related to the work she does and the life she lives. Dominique, thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you so much, John. I appreciate that introduction and joining you and the listeners here to talk about some great things today.
Yeah, crazy busy times for you now, as I'm learning, talking to you a few times before we recorded. All of the hard work that you and your colleagues have done are now coming to fruition in a number of bill signings as the legislation that was approved all becomes codified. And one of the things that you worked really hard on, along with a number of other of acquaintances of mine in the State House, were bills related to our aging population. And I know among the folks that are kind of commanding your attention is the growing aging population of folks in the LGBTQ plus community.
Well, it's interesting, John, because as you mentioned with my committee, none of those committees focus are the aging committee, but we do see issues with aging pop up once in a while in judiciary, of course, including the nursing home bill that the governor promoted that fortunately passed. I was really lucky in my role as deputy majority caucus chair to be tapped to be part of the team on the House priority bill, which was the really what they're calling sweeping elder care legislation. And I've got to tell you, my district, which I love, is home in Norwalk to, I think, the biggest concentration of elders in Norwalk in terms of neighborhoods. So that was always on my mind about how I can help my neighbors and my constituents, and especially people in my generation who are really turning toward helping our elders. But as an LGBTQ plus person, I'm always thinking about what that means for our community as well, given that we have really unique experiences with aging, like you said, and many times our elders go from a place where they may feel safe to where they don't with these life changes. Mm. So that's something I'm really interested in the future, especially because I think intergenerational connections in our community are so important. And often we don't have the spaces and the connections to really develop those. Yeah. Those families kind of origin are there, but then of choice with our elders are super important.
Yeah, we started this conversation with your colleague Rahib, Representative Rahib, last year, and he was explaining to me how he was so concerned at folks who may have come out in the 60s or the 70s as teens or in their 20-somethings, and now they're in their their golden years, so to speak, and they almost are in some cases having to kind of feel like they need to recloset themselves. That's a really disturbing thing.
It is, and he's absolutely right, and it's really wonderful working with him and the few other LGBTQ plus legislators, because I think we see these things in our own community and can really amplify that. It's deeply troubling to think you literally were at the forefront of a civil rights movement.
Yeah.
And now you, for your own safety, have to have that part of your dignity of being who you are suppressed. So I think that's something as we age, especially, I think generally I've learned with working on these bills, folks get sidelined or their lives aren't part of a general conversation. And so I think respecting our elders generally is important, but especially our elders that have unique situations. And we as a community, I think, always could do better in the LGBTQ community doing that for our elders. Because, I mean, we're, like you said, the Stonewall generation is now really becoming 70, 80 years old. And they need us. And they need us to be there for them.
Yeah. You're also kind of in a great district, and I have to say probably the leading district of communities in Connecticut in terms of providing inclusion, support, services, recreation, socialization for LGBTQ plus community members. You've got the Triangle Center down there. You've got a number of great active organizations, including Westport Pride, as we broadcast here on Sunday morning. We're hours away from their main event down in Westport. This is a great community that you are tied to.
I cannot agree more. I love it. It's home in multiple ways, and one of them are these vibrant groups that, you know, literally in the case of Triangle Community Center started decades ago in church basements. And I've been lucky to meet some of those folks that started it. But now, all these years later, we have a vibrant, one of the biggest pride festivals in Norwalk in the entire state. People come from Massachusetts and Rhode Island to come to it, right there on the Sound at Veterans Park coming up June 8th. And as you said, today being Westport Pride, and this is really a testament to that community-minded group to create, you know, this ongoing celebration every year. And every year just seems to keep getting bigger and better and more inclusive. So that's fabulous. They put in, we both have rainbow crosswalks that are year-round in our towns. And I think for a lot of young people, when they see that going by in the family car, that means a lot to something, to them, to have that recognition that that's something. Yeah. Really, truly, that the cities are doing.
Yeah. You also got me thinking, Dominique, that after meeting with and talking with and getting really fired up, as you probably have from Anthony, and I've just had the great pleasure of working with and interviewing Rachel Lenda at the tourism office, and the governor, of course, himself, all talking about, you know, this new branding that Connecticut is doing, Make It Here, and how we're trying to use all means possible to attract more people back to come live in Connecticut, or to whether they've left and we want them to return, or people who have never yet discovered Connecticut. And in listening to you, I'm thinking about all of the places in our country that are so much less friendly to the LGBTQ plus community members and others, and how Connecticut is really kind of an oasis for individuals in those communities, and how welcoming we are to them. And for you to be one of the state house leaders in that respect must give you great pride, if you'll excuse the pun.
It's the perfect word. I feel great pride in being a person who loves our state and not only sees all the things that we're doing that are really coming together, but also the potential yet of what we could build together. You know, make no mistake, LGBTQ plus youth in our state still face, and I know we spoke of this earlier, severe bullying, harassment, victimization, suicidality, and we need to continually address that as part of a bigger mental health crisis among our young people. But in particular, there is work to be done. There are things to do. But when it comes to where we are as a state, especially relative to other states, states that I've even lived in, a variety of different types of, you know, climates, and I can tell you that not only is Connecticut home, but the fact that we are seen as part of the fabric of the identity of the state, of the civic life of the state, I think is very important. So, of course, in the first place, voting, but then second of all the businesses our community starts, the business we bring to certain, like with our festivals in June. But frankly, you know, the fact that this is a place that people come from all over the country to be a tourist because they can be safe, that does speak to our potential if we are and remain like our motto says, that you can sustain a life here if you come here and contribute. I think that's really important.
Yeah. So let me ask you hypothetically, and I don't know how you are with these kind of questions, but in a quiet moment, you're in a room alone with the governor or with Speaker Ritter, and they say, Representative Johnson, if I was going to put forth the speaker's bill or a governor's bill that would specifically address your greatest concerns about the young members of the LGBTQ plus communities here in Connecticut, what is it I'm going to need to do to try to start making things better?
That is a question that I would deeply wrestle with because of the fact that I've worked in this area as a, you know, my former life, I produced research about school climate and specifically the experiences of young people who are victimized on many of the and bullied in many of the ways that our community experiences. So when I'm in that room, and I've actually said this too to folks who are in leadership positions, that we need to listen to the youth. So my first step would be to help facilitate a way that the young people can bring their lived experiences to the policymakers. I don't ever want to be in a position where I think I'm doing something that will help a group without actually speaking with them, whether it's elder care or young people. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, they have an agenda that I think might seem ambitious to us as adults, but I think we need to listen and really think about how we can bring that, you know, to fruition. There are groups like Equality Connecticut who are trying to do this work right now. And I think that's where we are, is an exciting moment. It was a new organization trying to take what can be an incredibly diverse community and distill some priorities that will help the greatest number. This, to me, focusing on youth should be paramount. And so the youth themselves should be at the table, whether it's the task force or it's kind of a group like the LGBTQ Opportunity Network that amplifies their voices. We need to listen to the youth. So I imagine safe school climate policies are going to be very important with that. And I imagine the ability for young people to feel safe in the school and have a way to express themselves that is not seen as detrimental kind of to the overall school culture is really important. We do have a variety of different types of climates and cultures all across the state. So how we can help individual school communities best amplify and support their students and their potential is going to be important. But it's always got to come from the youth, always. Mm-hmm.
So in lieu of handing you that magic legislative wand, I maybe the next best thing is for me to just ask you to share a little bit about your life experience and speak directly to the youth and the loved ones of those youths in those communities, in order for, if nothing more than to give them, you know, a little bit more faith that there are people like them in positions like yours and that are working hard on their behalf.
Well, that's an amazing opportunity to have, and so I appreciate you for that very much. The first thing I'm thinking about is back to the fact that, you know, I have now almost been out for 30 years, right? I came out in a very different culture and climate and time in our country's history. Like many in my generation, we did not have visibility. So I think it's really important for me to remain visible. And frankly, my message to young people is we're ready for you. And we, our generation, are doing these things so you can go even further. This seat will, it's the people's seat and you're the people. So, you know, consider things that you didn't think were possible. That's fundamentally what I get to do every day, is do something I didn't think was possible when I was their age. So that's fabulous. But the other part of it too is I really admire the progress we've made as a community. But I think that now more than ever, things can be scary. And so my message to families is that, like, to support and uplift one another, we have to find ourselves in community, because that's the way I was able to do what I do now, is I always had somebody in our community looking out for me of an older generation, right? So again, I think finding mentors and elders is very important to this work, to kind of understand how we're on a trajectory And this trajectory keeps bending because we do the work of community and we do the work of making sure people's voices are heard. And I fundamentally know that things can be scary. And I personally have seen that our young people are coming out into a world that's more accepting generally than when I was their age. But with that, it can be even scarier because when it's not as accepting as you had hoped, or people still say things that aren't just beyond the pale, but are inflammatory about who you are and meant to hurt you, it probably feels even scarier than I can imagine, because it's, you know, there's this assumption you're going to be a little bit safer. So I think that's what we have to remember, is that while we're doing better, it still is a really scary thing to be who you are sometimes, depending on the context. And that's always something we can work toward, that this is a long-term project and they're part of a lineage and a history that's really working every day, and that they are they're living the future now. And so again, like, that's why I think it's so important for me to know that they are loved and we're here for you.
With such a lack of education on some individuals' parts and in some cultures, and given the fact that there's still a lot of stigmatizing against individuals of the LGBTQ plus community, if somebody had 30 seconds to react to their child or the child they are caring for, who comes to them in another quiet moment and comes out, how would you counsel someone who may not really understand it, or even, even who it angers or frustrates? What's the best way to receive that information, in your opinion?
Well, I think, and I think back to what many people in my generation had hoped to hear, but weren't lucky enough in that regard to hear. And I think that this has happened for many generations. I know it still happens today, but the fact of the matter is, if you care about a young person, reminding them that you love them is full stop, is perhaps the most powerful thing, that unconditional love. And if you're not quite ready to add on just the way you are or just the way you were made at the end of that sentence, doing the work to get there is going to be your journey. But I think a lot of times, remembering that this is about that young person's journey and how important it was that they trusted you to share this with them. And so to maintain that trust and to just understand how special it is that you were trusted is an honor, but also a responsibility. Mm-hmm. I think to learn more, like you said, and to make sure that even if, to be open to the fact that things you might say aren't received as intended, but the fact that they were received that way, that's important to kind of, as part of the journey, to learn how to best support that young person. But love among all. I think we don't, unfortunately, hear that word enough these days generally, but I think that in that context is really important. Mm-hmm.
Dominique Johnson is a state representative here in Connecticut. She represents the 143rd District, Norwalk and Westport. Big day today in Westport. Go Westport Pride. And Dominique, we'll let you go. We know you're quite busy today. Thank you so much for all the time.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.